My dear brothers and sisters, I greet you with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a truly powerful statement that requires reflection on all of our parts. He says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the believers. And He says, did you all think, did you assess that we have created you in vanity? Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creating mankind and indeed creating everything that we are a part of, this universe, this life, did you think that this was done as some kind of show? As some kind of game, as just some kind of party trick? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. You think that all of this, your whole life, was just to show people, to show you that Allah can do it? And you thought that after creating you, after giving you shape and form and life, وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, and that you would not one day return to explain why you existed and what you did with that existence? If you are speaking to one who does not believe in God in the first place, an atheist or an agnostic, and they tell you, yeah, we just, our existence has no real reason. We just are, and then we will stop being. You might accept that answer from them, although you reject the thought process that they use to arrive at it. You could accept this answer from an atheist. Can we accept this answer from believers? Of course not. Should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this answer from us? That we live our life and it was just in vain? That we live without having to offer anything to explain the way we lived? People, unfortunately, they may say they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the way that they live that life shows what they actually believe. And you find too many people who claim to be believers, who claim to be worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they live their life as if they are trying to hide from Allah. As if they said to themselves, you know what, there are 8 billion people on earth or something like this. And I can just blend in the crowd. I just hide away in this corner, and here I will be able to continue enjoying my little small lusts that make me satisfied in the moment. Here I will be able to continue feeding my appetite so long as, you know, I'm hungry, I will be filling myself, and when I'm filling myself and I'm satisfied, I'll get hungry again, and I'll just keep doing it, hiding away in this corner, blending into the massive number of humanity, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not keenly and specifically aware of every nutrient that enters your body and every word that escapes your lips. As if we can hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can hear the anger in Allah's voice when He poses this question. And in the following ayah, it is as if His anger has boiled over. As if He was, you know, being a little bit gentle, and then He just let loose. In the next statement, when He says, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ. Allah is exalted above any of this. He is the true King. There is no God except He. And He is the Lord of the noble throne. You see how Allah responded? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even respond with a rejection of this ideology. He did not even respond by calling out human beings, believers, who are trying to hide away, pretend as though they will not be accounted for. He simply responds by reminding you and I, brothers and sisters, that when we live life as if we can hide from Allah's judgment, This is an affront to the kingdom of God. When we live life as if we have no purpose, it is a transgression against His nobility. It is a rejection of His status in our lives, and He being the Lord who created us and provides for us in every moment. And that is one of the tricks of Shaitan. That is one of the modern tricks that Shaitan has played on so many people, distracting you and I with so many glittering objects, so many fun opportunities, so many moments of entertainment, so much to do here and there, and so much going on in our lives. He has fooled us. He has told us, whispered in our ears, go ahead, believe in Allah. Believe in Allah. You watched those YouTube videos. You heard those arguments. You read that book. Okay, believe in Allah. But just live without purpose. Live your life as a believer. You don't really have to do much more. My brothers and sisters, I bring this notion to your attention and these ayat to your attention because today it is the fifth week of our series in which we have been covering this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fifth and final week, the five before five series that we have been doing when the Prophet ﷺ told us, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take advantage of five before five. So far we have covered شبابك قبل هرمك, that you take advantage of your youth before your bones grow old. We have covered صحتك قبل سقمك. Take advantage of your health before you are ill and unable to do what you would do in your health. We covered the third advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, اغتنم غناك قبل فقرك. Take advantage of your wealth and resources before you become impoverished. And last week we talked about the fifth advice. اغتنم فراغك قبل شغلك. Take advantage of your free time before you become busy, before you are stuck in this chain of busyness and preoccupation. So finally today we come to the final advice, the last part of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, اغتنم حياتك قبل موتك. Take advantage of your life before your death. I think when we hear this hadith, and we went through so much from the previous four advices, the initial thought that most of us have is, okay, this is a summary. And I've heard this mentioned so many places as well. This last statement is a summary of what was said so far. Because what is life? Aside from your days of youth and your time of health, followed by days of being old and days of being ill. What is life except that you have poverty, or you have wealth and then sometimes you have poverty. You have free time and then you become busy. Isn't that basically all of life? So the Prophet is just summing it all up. اغتنم حياتك قبل موتك. Actually, brothers and sisters, I think this is a poor understanding of what the Messenger ﷺ said. He's not being redundant. Actually, I think this is the most important piece of advice. It is why he left it to the end. This is the most important part of the entire statement. Without this last piece, اغتنم حياتك قبل موتك, everything else that he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually leads us nowhere. This was the foundational piece. That's why he left it to the end. You see, brothers and sisters, because you might have a youth in which you take advantage of all of your youth, and you might have health granted to you for most, if not all, of your life, and you might have so much wealth that you accrue and you find ways to spend it and you get so creative, and you might have all kinds of time to spend that wealth and to make more of it. You might enjoy all of these favors and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, we see people, believers and non-believers, and they enjoy many, if not all of them. But at the end, you and I and everyone you know and love and everyone I know and love will die. At the end, we will all die. Every human being, كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Everyone will taste that moment of death. And when you realize that every single person will die, you realize that all of that youth, all of that health, all of that time and wealth, all of it means nothing if it does not have purpose. When the Prophet ﷺ tells us, اغتنم حياتك قبل موتك, he is telling us not just to take advantage of life before your death, he's telling you to live a life of purpose because this life has a clear ending. If you don't take advantage of this life and give it some meaning, give it some purpose, give yourself a reason, a true reason to live, then it doesn't matter how long you lived, it doesn't matter how much you spent, it doesn't matter what you achieved, it will eventually become dust, if not worse. The Prophet ﷺ is calling our attention to a great tragedy that we must avoid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this tragedy in the ayat of Surah Al-Hadid. He says, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبًا وَلَهُمْ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. You know that the life of this world is no more than play and amusement and pomp and mutual boasting and competition between you and others over who has more wealth and who has more children. If we just stop there and you pose this notion to any random person on the street, they'll tell you, you know what, that sounds like a decent life. It's not bad. I'd love to live a life where I just play and I amuse myself and I have some pomp and I celebrate myself here and there and I get to boast to those around me about the way that my life is going and I have competitions with my friends and family and even those who I oppose. I want to compete with them to have more kids and have more wealth. Yeah, what's the problem? Sounds not too bad. YOLO. You live and then you die. That's it. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the actual tragedy. He says, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارُ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَمًا. He says the example of this life, this celebration, this pomp, this play, this amusement, this competition for more in dunya, actually it's like rain. You know the rain that comes and the farmers are waiting for this rain? And they've planted their seeds in soil that they believed was fertile. And they are waiting for that rain to come so that the fruits of their labor will finally come forth. And the rain comes. It is like the rain that causes the farmers so much delight in the growth of their crops. أعجب الكفار نباته. Finally, my crops will grow. But then what happens? Then the rain dries up. And before the crops have a chance to fully grow and fully form, they're kind of growing. You see some flowering, you see some fruit, but it starts to go bad before it goes ripe. You've seen this? Anybody familiar with farming? This is a great tragedy. So much resource poured into this, and the fruits of your labor, the crops are starting to go bad before they're even good enough to pick. And all that's left is yellowing crops, wilting away. Eventually, it becomes nothing more than chaff. Just when you thought that life would bear fruit for you and turn the corner and be exactly what you wanted and be the paradise that you were hoping to build, and now you can finally live in peace, it starts to go bad. It starts to wilt. Eventually, it becomes nothing. The tragedy, my brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you and I, the soil of this life is not fertile enough for your dreams and aspirations. The soil of this life is not fertile enough for your hopes and for your ambitions. The soil of this life is not enough for you to build your true purpose. It cannot be contained in this life. The tragedy is that people still decide to live for this life anyways. People still decide to eat from that rotten fruit and that chaff of nothingness instead of saying to themselves, I need to invest in something greater. I need to take advantage of this land, this property, this life that I have. How can I leverage it for something greater in my future? The Prophet tells us, اغتنم حياتك قبل موتك, because he wants us to gain perspective. He wants us to have an honest perspective on the reality of this life. And he says, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرُ هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّةٍ. Increase or constantly remember the destroyer of pleasures. It's from the hadith of Abu Hurairah. What is هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّةٍ? It is death. Remember death often. And brothers and sisters, I think as part of the nature of my job, my role in the community, I see this cycle every few days. Every few days I see this cycle. One day, I'm with a family and they are celebrating the birth of a new child. The next day, I'm with a family and a couple, young couple is getting married. And the next day, I'm with a family and they're burying their loved one in the ground. And the next day, I'm with a family and they're celebrating their children's accomplishment. And the next day, I'm with a family making dua for his new business that he started. And the next day, I'm with a family and they're burying their loved one in the ground. And every few days, wallahi, this cycle goes on and on and on. And if you only see it once or twice every so often, you won't see how constant this reality is. How important it is for you to remember and reflect that death is a constant of life. You won't feel that need, and then you'll feel okay to have a purposeless existence. You'll say to yourself, you know what? Let me be purposeless for now, and in the future, I'll give myself purpose. But death comes so suddenly. And we know it so well, but we ignore that fact because it makes us comfortable. You see, you know, just a few days ago, I think some of you maybe heard this as well. There was a story, a really tragic story, of this woman who's working in her cubicle, and she is in the cubicle and she dies at work. And her body remains at work, at her place of work, for 4 days unattended. Her co-workers are coming into work and then clocking out and coming in and clocking for 4 days. And of course, they smelled something strange from the decay of the corpse, but they thought, okay, well, it must be some sewage issue. And they see her body in the cubicle. They know she's in there. They think, okay, well, she's just coming in early and leaving late, just putting in a lot of effort, trying to catch up. This is what happens in this purposeless existence. Honestly, it took me down a rabbit hole of research. I started looking up how commonly this happens. And over the last decade, this is becoming more and more common, that people are dying at work and they remain at work for multiple days. In fact, there are many, many cases, so many cases, people who pass away and for months they are undiscovered. For years, the corpse is undiscovered because there was no family to check in. There was no community to check in. The co-workers didn't really care, you know, fired, didn't show up for 2 days, done. It makes you truly appreciate why, you know, in Islam we have a speedy ceremony, we have a speedy janazah. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to bury people in the ground, and why the Prophet ﷺ tells us to do it quickly. Do you know what the most common form of a funeral is now in the West? It's not burial. It's cremation. I went to a course for funeral directors, and as I'm teaching them about the Islamic rites and why it's so important, they are shocked that the community makes such a big deal that even if we don't know who this person is, if they're Muslim, we will cover the cost. They must be buried. Otherwise, it is a sin on all of our shoulders. They're telling me, well, you know, wouldn't cremation just be easier? Nobody knows this person. For them, it's just a business decision. For us, it is about purpose, brothers and sisters. For us, it is about the purpose of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Dukhan, وَمَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We have not created them except with a true purpose, haqq. But people are living lives with false purposes. They find purpose in their property and the things that they own and the car that they have and the home that they're paying a mortgage on and so many other things. This gives them purpose. It's what makes them wake up in the morning and go live life again, because I have to fulfill my purpose. Eventually those things escape our hands. People find purpose in their jobs and in their careers. And they work so hard and they try to impress and they gain new skills and all kinds of talent. And then one day, they start to wane. And one day, that very same career leaves them behind and hires somebody else who can do the work different or better or faster or whatever. People find purpose in their loved ones. But eventually their loved ones also grow, they grow apart. They become distant from each other. My brothers and sisters, even the Prophet ﷺ was warned about false purposes. In the hadith he says, Nabi ﷺ says, قَالَ لِي جِبْرِيلِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَفَارِقُهُ وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُلَاقِيهِ وَعِشْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet and warned him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, love whomever you want and eventually you will part with them. Work however you wish, eventually you will see its consequences. And live however you wish, eventually you will die. The answer to this, brothers and sisters, this challenge of purpose, is that we should, as believers, live a true purpose. We must find a true purpose by which we live. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the answer to how that true purpose can be lived. He gives us the answer to what the Prophet ﷺ is calling us. How can I take advantage of my life before my death? Well, he tells us in the ayat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created jinn and ins. We have not created you mankind except that you are a servant of God. And this is how you live your true purpose. A servant of God, my brothers and sisters, is one who actually asks himself, is my life pleasing to Allah? Or is it designed to be pleasing to people around me? A servant of God is one who actually cares. You know, what did Allah even say to me? Wouldn't that be a servant of God? Rather than to take the Quran and make it an ornament on the shelves. A servant of God is one who, instead of complaining about the challenges that he is going through or she is facing, instead of complaining about the difficulty, says, this is the challenge Allah selected for me. Let me show Allah how excellently I can carry myself. A servant of God is less focused on the luxuries that he or she can gain in his own life and more interested in how his life can be a service to God's other creation. Since I can do nothing to offer Allah anything that would make a difference to Him, let me serve His creation. Let me honor His creation that He put me in charge of and made me a Khalifa on this earth. A servant of God is not distracted by the shiny, glittery objects in life. A servant of God instead is asking himself, how do I attain true beauty, true success in the next life? A servant of God asks herself, am I more focused on attending these social gatherings where everything is fun and play and amusement? Or do I give myself some time to attend the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where I can learn and grow and develop? A servant of God is not constantly working to fill his own bank account. A servant of God is working to fulfill lives of others as well. Are you a servant of God? Are you living as if you are created with purpose? Or are you looking for false purposes which will misguide you? My brothers and sisters, raise your hands, speak to Allah from the heart and ask Him to make you one who lives with true purpose. وَدُعَ اللَّهَ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا مولانا نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear brothers and sisters, today we conclude our series اغتنم خمساً قبل خمس, take advantage of five things before five. And we concluded with the final and most important, the most foundational advice of all five. اغتنم حياتك قبل موتك. Take advantage of your life before your death. Live a life of purpose. Live your life as if you are actually a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than being enslaved to all of these false purposes of dunya. I remind you, brothers and sisters, the story of Musa alayhi salam. Do you remember the events around his death? Musa alayhi salam had a huge mission in front of him. He was to free Bani Israel from the tyranny of Pharaoh, to take them into the land past the Sinai and into the promised land where he and the believers will live in the land of Palestine. And in that process, they became delayed because of the disobedience and because of the foolishness of his people. If Musa alayhi salam died before he witnessed them enter that sacred land that was promised to them. He died before that. But the moments of his death are truly, truly moments in which we can learn so much. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel of death to Musa alayhi salam. And of course, as is the case with just the prophets and messengers before their soul is taken, it is not the case for any of us, but with the prophets and messengers, permission is sought. So they ask, the angel of death asks the permission of the prophet, if I can take your soul. And so the angel of death appears to Musa alayhi salam in human form and informs him. This is from the hadith. The Prophet narrates this story to us. He says he informs Musa alayhi salam that it is time for you to answer the call of your Lord. And Musa does not recognize him, but he knows that this is a threat to his life, and so he smacks the angel of death on his face, causing him damage in his eye, in his human form. And then the angel of death returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he complains to Allah. رَسَّلْتَنِي إِلَىٰ عَبْدٍ لَا يُرِيدُ الْمَوْتِ. You have sent me to a slave of yours that does not want to die. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, go back and make this offer to Musa alayhi salam. Offer him to put his hands on the back of an ox. And however many hairs that his hand touches, those will be the number of years that his life will be extended by. So the angel of death goes back. He tells him, I'm the angel of death, and this is the offer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to you. So then Musa alayhi salam asks, Ay Rabbi, thumma ma? Okay, my Lord, then what? After all of this, it would be hundreds, maybe 1,000 or so years. After all of this, then what? ثُمَّ الْمَوْتِ. Then death. So then Musa alayhi salam responds and he says what? فَالْآنْ يَا رَبِّي. Then let it be now, O Lord. And that is when the soul of Musa alayhi salam is taken back to his Lord. Brothers and sisters, even a prophet of God, even a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the moments of his death, is concerned, is worried if he has done enough in his life, if he has achieved his purpose, if he has lived a life of purpose and truly fulfilled the purpose for which he was sent. And for that reason is concerned about the moment of death and resistant at the moment of death. But then, when he's offered, okay, you can have maybe 100, maybe 1,000 more years. Or what would happen after that? Well, you will die eventually. That's when Musa alayhi salam understands. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the years that you might add up. It is about the quality of life. It is about the striving towards that purpose until your dying breath. And that is the way the prophets and messengers who are guaranteed their places in paradise lived. That is the way that the righteous and the pious lived before us. That is the way of the martyrs who until their final moment are striving and struggling for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you and I allow ourselves the luxury to hide away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live life for maybe years, maybe decades without purpose, telling ourselves, one day I'll take this life more seriously. It is not how we take advantage of life, brothers and sisters. As the Prophet tells us in the hadith, مَوْتُ الْمُؤْمِنِ بِعَرَقِ الْجَبِينِ. The death of a believer comes while there is still sweat on his brow. You and I, if we are believers, we are supposed to be working non-stop as servants of God. We are supposed to be striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala non-stop without rest. Our rest comes when we die. And in that moment, there should be sweat on our foreheads that we were struggling and striving still to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live our life with purpose. I ask you, Ya Allah, to make each and every one of us able to take advantage of this life. Ya Allah, we ask that you enable us to prepare for our death. Ya Allah, we ask that you enable us to fulfill our purpose in life. Ya Allah, we ask that you enable us to see clearly our purpose in life, to understand our role in that purpose, Ya Allah, to make us among those who truly fulfill our purposes in this life. Ya Allah, make us among those who will be rewarded for it in the next. Allahumma ameen.